This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out once again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan. And we're happy to have you folks with us. We've been here a long time now. We're bringing you some studies on demon possession and all of those things, where Satan come from, where's his territory, where's his kingdom, and those related subjects. And we're looking today, where did Satan come from? Where did Satan come from? Maybe you've never heard, maybe you've never read anything, but listen, would you just listen for the next few minutes? I wish you'd study closely in connection with these studies, the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Here we find there in verse 15 that he was a created being. And verse 14, that he was an anointed cherub. He was the anointed cherub. This means that he was created as probably the highest of all the angelic host, and being the anointed cherub, was placed over all of the angelic host and other inhabitants as the one to lead the worship of the universe. To him, God delegated power and authority over all other creation. That's where he got his authority and his power. We have no record. Now, I want you to pay attention. We have no record that when he was cast out, that he lost, listen, that he lost any of his authority or his power. He's not omnipotent, but he's superhuman, my friend. He's not omniscient, but with more than 6,000 years of history behind him, and having dealt with humanity over a period of 6,000 years, and having such multitudinous group of demon spirits and fallen angels under his authority, we would almost think that he's omniscient. So Satan, from the moment of his creation until his fall, was surrounded by royalty and stood before God in priestly dignity. But when he fell, he became the prince of darkness. And the first time we see him after his fall is in the Garden of Eden, where he began his wreck and ruin through the body of a serpent. Through the body of the old serpent, my friend. Now, that's an interesting study, isn't it? As we've indicated, every individual born into this world is under the power and dominion of Satan. They're controlled by Satan, held captive by Satan. They worship Satan as the god of this world, maybe under religious cover. With this background of Satan's power and authority as the head of a great organized kingdom, with all the fallen creatures under his control, including spirits, angels, fallen humanity, let's consider the question. Let's look at this question. How is a person saved? Oh, my friend, what a question. Living under those things, there are two great facts that we must face, and we must face them honestly. When we begin to talk about the salvation of a lost soul, a member of Adam's race that is now held captive by Satan, the first fact we must face is the individual is a captive of Satan, a prisoner of Satan, and is controlled by Satan. This is the place where every individual goes wrong who goes wrong on redemption. You see, Satan not only holds the members of Adam's race as captives, as prisoners, but he has them blinded, as Paul says, blinded by the god of this world. Secondly, as a result of our fall through Adam, we are totally depraved. We have a hatred of God in our hearts. We have a corrupt nature that loves sin and evil and uncleanliness. We have hearts of unbelief that despise God's will, will not believe God, will not trust God, and try to live independently of God. Such individuals of their own accord will not come to God that they might have eternal life. Christ said on one occasion, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." Did you read that? Ye will not come to me. Every member of Adam's race is of the earth and loves the things of this earth. He will not have God to rule over him, and he literally hates the sacrifice, God's sin offering. And if left alone, he would never come to God. What a statement. If the individual, you know, sinner, if the Lord leaves you alone, you'll never come. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, don't fight God. Don't take issue with God. This is briefly, man is by nature. Being by nature, he's under the judgment of God, the curse of God, the wrath of God. He's condemned to die and is a hell-deserving individual, should go to hell. Deserves to go to hell, and will go to hell if the Lord leaves you alone. Now, my friend, that's the natural man. And I tell my audience here, my congregation, on many, many occasions, if the Lord ever leaves you, you better pray, awakened sinner prayed, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. I'll go to hell if you leave me. Before God can save that individual, he had to provide a substitute. Oh, what a subject. What a study. Thinking about the substitute. That substitute was provided before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross in the fullness of time, and the just for the unjust. He appeared to put away this sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now listen. On one hand, you have a totally depraved, guilty, hell-deserving sinner who does not want mercy, who hates God, who does not want to be saved. That's every individual, and never would be saved if the Lord leaves him alone. On the other hand, you have a perfect sacrifice, a perfect substitute that God has provided for every sinner who will come to him, who will believe. God has made every provision in the world to save a sinner. After the Lord Jesus Christ came, born as a baby there in Bethlehem, he took that body, a perfect body, to the cross as our sin offering, as our substitute. He was placed in the tomb and on the third day was raised for our justification, ascended back to the right hand of God, and was accepted by him. But all of this, my friends, means nothing to the individual who is uninfluenced by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, uninfluenced, untouched by the gospel. Then he sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to convict or convince. That means convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I know that the Old Trailblazer ministry here, Radio Missions Ministry, many times we are criticized because we preach and teach that the only way an individual can ever be saved is that the Holy Spirit comes to that sinner and digs around his heart, opens his heart, opens his eyes, and lets him see his true condition that he is in, as in a natural state. He sees that. He sees his worthlessness, his wretchedness. And then there comes a cry after holiness. When you compare sin upside the righteousness of God, then the sinner will turn. Oh, my friend, he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to do three things. First, listen now, to show the sinner who he is and what he is by nature. Now, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. No man can open a heart. I can't. The pastor can't open a heart. Trailblazer can't open a heart. I can't move an individual one hair's breadth. But the Holy Spirit can. He came here to show the sinner who he is and what he is by nature. Then to show that sinner his heart of unbelief, the taproot of his old depraved nature, and then to show him the judgment he's under, that he's under the same judgment that Satan is. He's a child of Satan, a worshiper of Satan, and is going to the same hell as Satan is going to. Then the next main thing the Holy Spirit does in the salvation of a sinner is to show that awakened sinner who Christ is and convince him of the righteousness of Christ. What a work. Oh, that's the greatest thing that ever happened. I tell folks here, the greatest thing that ever happens, first thing is to be awakened to your lost condition, to see what you are by nature, who you are by nature, that you're controlled and motivated by Satan. And then the greatest thing that ever happened is that Christ would be revealed to you as your Lord and Savior. Now, is that anything you did, brother? Did you scrape up any righteousness anywhere and bring it to the Lord? No. Now, get this picture. That man, that woman, is a member of Adam's race, held captive by Satan, and a prisoner of hell. The Holy Spirit has come and shown this individual, whether in the church or out of the church, whether in the pulpit or the pew or the world, that he's a lost sinner and that he's a rebel in rebellion against God and that he's a child of wrath and that he's a child of Satan and a member of the satanic kingdom. Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner, folks? I asked you that. That's a good question. Have you ever seen you? Oh, no, I've never seen myself as a sinner. Well, you're not saved. I just stake my eternal destiny on it. No sinner comes to Christ until he sees himself in dire straits, in a condition that he can't do anything about. Then he shows him that he's under judgment with Satan. Oh, Satan's under judgment. One day he's going to be judged, going to the same hell that Satan's going to, and he leaves that sinner on his face crying for mercy. scared to death because it's the first time that sinner has ever seen himself. What an awakening. We call it awakening sinner. Oh, my friend, have you ever seen yourself? Then he begins to show the sinner that Christ died for such a wretch just as he is. He begins the first time that sinner comes to face reality. His eyes are open. His understanding is open. His heart is enlightened. And the glorious gospel of Christ shines in there by the Holy Spirit and he is completely awakened to the reality of his situation, finds himself held captive by Satan under the penalty of sin, which is death. He finds he has no faith to believe. He finds he has no way to escape from the wrath of God and from the penalty of sin, which is death. And he finds that he's held captive by Satan and cannot free himself. Satan is fighting all the way, and every member of Satan's kingdom turns on him, in the church and out of the church. He finds himself a sole object of mercy. Then and only then does he begin to cry unto God for deliverance, falls down and worships God for the first time in his life, gets honest with the Lord, begins to see things in the reality, in the light of the gospel, and then he begins to cry out for God for deliverance. And that's what salvation is, my friend. A deliverance. I've mentioned that to you many, many times. The very word salvation means deliverance. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from Satan. Deliverance from your old wrath. And deliverance from self. But my friend, I hope these messages are blessing your heart. At least one here and one there. Would you sit down and write me and tell me that you appreciate them? And if you would, help me with the broadcast. We're going to go on two or three news stations if we had the money. And remember, the old trailblazer, just a poor old sinner saved by grace. The Lord saved me, called me into the ministry several years ago, put my hands to the plow, as it were. And the Bible says anyone looking back, takes his eyes off the plow and looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, I can't look back. No, no, I told you in a message here lately that like there in the Battle of Waterloo, old Napoleon told his bugler, said, blow a retreat. And he stood there and trembled and looked like he didn't know what was going on. And Napoleon hollered at him, blow a retreat. And he said, Mr. General, you never taught me how to blow a retreat. He said, well, for God's sake, blow a charge. And he did. Put that old bugle to his mouth. And that little old young fellow blew a charge. It seemed like the dead men got up off the ground and went into battle and won that battle. So that's what we're doing here. We're blowing a charge. Get up, folks. Get up. Let's go. Let's go. Well, the souls of men are at stake. And we're bringing you God's message. We're bringing what the Lord lays on our heart. Maybe you'll see that Satan is a prince in power of this air. Satan is in charge. Satan is all of this stuff we see now coming on us. Is Satan, it's just Satan almost personified in all of the trash that we see and all of the murders and the cruelty and the molesting and homosexuality and all of those things. Satan is behind all of that, my friend, and there are not many. Not many that even know it. What's your condition? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting the Lord? You know what salvation is? Trusting the Lord. Clinging to him. Like a clinging vine, my friend. Cling to him. Don't give up, sinner. Don't look back. Nothing back there to look back to. But this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Remember, my mailing address, Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, Radio Missions.org. Goodbye and God bless you.